I'm going to start out with I hope this is going to be a funny story for you. Two men are standing on a bridge, and one is about to jump off, and the other's trying to talk him out of it. So the one man says to the jumper, "So are you a Christian or a Hindu or a Jew or what?" And the jumper replies, "A Christian." The man says, "Small world, me too. Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox?" Jumper answers, "Protestant." Man replies, "Me too, what denomination?" The jumper says, "Baptist." The man replies, "Me too, Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist?" The jumper answers, "Northern Baptist." The man replies, "Me too, Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" The jumper answers, "Northern Conservative Baptist." The man replies, "Me too, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region?" The jumper answers, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region." The man replies, "Me too, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. The jumper answers, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Regional Council of 1912. The man, then leaving the jumper on the bridge, hurls himself off and yells, "Sayonara, heretic." The things that divide us. So we've come to this day, right? It's the Sunday after an inauguration, after election. Yes, I'm going there. Sorry. So our country is relatively divided in many different ways. You only have to watch the news or the papers or, dare I say, Facebook, or maybe have conversations with family and friends, and you've got a group of people rioting, looting, and protesting, and you've got another group of people reveling in what they perceive to be victory, and some people are completely gleeful, and some people are utterly terrified. And I've talked to people that are really sitting on both sides of the camp, and even in my own wider family, there's a divide, and there's a rift that bubbles just under the surface. And, you know, it's, in many respects, probably just the blood that keeps us all together, unfortunately. It's a sad state of affairs. So then this gets me thinking, what about the church? Should the church be divided by an American presidential election? Should there be undercurrents of us and them? You know, all the one side supporters sit on this side of the church, and the other side supporters sit on this side of the church. It was pointed out to me this morning that I must be a Green Bay supporter. Since I'm wearing a green stole, so I'll have to find a blue and white and red one for after next week, right?
We won't.
Okay, nice, Mike. So I'm just going to lay it out there that certainly in this church, this body, this family, there are probably people that are thrilled that Trump won. There may be some that are on the fence about it, that are cautiously optimistic, and there are some that are horrified and don't know whether to be enraged or terrified. And I want to leave it there and say that if God is with us and truly cares about every aspect of our life, then certainly he has something to say to the church about this topic. As you probably gathered from my message to the youth, God does not want us to be divided. We certainly could be. I bet if we suspended all the rules of decency and politeness and had a show of hands and then a very frank, honest conversation, we might have a knockdown, drag-out argument about politics pretty quickly if we didn't care what our brothers and sisters in Christ felt or thought. I'm sure there are many different beliefs and opinions about this. But our faith and scripture need to inform our beliefs and our political positions where faith and politics collide. But what does God have to say to us about this? What is the response of a Christian in the face of an election and a president we might like or we might not like? Whatever our differences in political disagreements are, we as the church need to find our unity in Christ. I want to remind us of the scripture that was read this morning. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So let me spin this out just one more step and say, should there be factions among us? Should there be Hillary Christians? Should there be Donald Christians? Okay. I've got a few laughs, okay. Did Hillary or Donald die for any one of us? Were we baptized in the name of any of our politicians? Of course, the answer is no. Our unity is in Christ. Our unity is in worship of Him and understanding Him, and therefore of God as revealed in Holy Scripture. Our unity is in the mission that we have, not to sacrifice our relationships with one another over our political views or the latest clever meme burning or lampooning somebody on the internet, but rather united in the mission that Christ calls us to. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul talks about this disunity going on in the church. You know, they were arguing about different things, but all the same, they had a whole broken up mess going on in the Corinthian church, and he was calling them back and saying, no, this is not what you were called to. You're called to the mission of the cross of Christ. One of the things we say, pardon me, each week in the Anglican liturgy is this, and it's quoting scripture. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, I'm not saying that we abandon our beliefs that we hold based on Scripture and boil everything down to the least common denominator so that everything is meaningless and nothing matters, and we just have this sort of blanket, warm, fuzzy love. But the kind of love that's being talked about here is a love that works for unity. It's a love that finds unity in Christ. It's a love that brings the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody, regardless of who they are or whether they think exactly the same as we do. Ever heard of A.W. Tozer? He wrote, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they possibly could be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. So what that's saying is, regardless of where you politically fall on the spectrum, or if you are a Green Bay or a Patriots fan, if your heart is tuned to the same Jesus Christ and the same gospel and the same Holy Scripture, you're going to be able to find unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So you say, well, that's all well and good and fine. Okay, Pastor, so what do we actually do? How does this work out on the ground for me as a Christian? I have a few thoughts. One is, pray. Whether you like the president or not, pray for the president. Pray for all those that are in authority. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let us pray for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and holy in every way, This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're called and commanded to pray. We didn't have presidents back then. I realize we don't live under a monarchy of a king, but that's what it's saying. Pray for our leaders. We want also, in all of this, to commend to everyone the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians. And if God wills, to gather us with more and more people from every ethnicity and class into a healthy, holy, and humble, and biblically faithful church. So we're praying. We're trying to love people. I read something this week that basically said, well, what am I going to do this week in response to this? I'm going to look for somebody that I can love in some tangible way. There's enough, you know, hate and garbage flying around in our nation right now. Even if it's holding a door for somebody, that can put a spin on their day. It's important for us to worship together in harmony and with reverence and awe of the one that's called us here, to the one true and living God. And we want to try to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Try to keep ourselves unstained from the way the world, and the way the world is going to try to drag us down and drag us into skirmishes and sideline fights and things like that. We want the church to be a beautiful alternative to the corruption that's in the world. And if we are following Christ and finding our unity in Him, it will be. So let's not exhaust ourselves by either celebrating or bemoaning the current administration. Let's pray for what's happening. We've so been loved by God and given this gospel. We are debtors to the gospel, debtors to Christ for the way in which He loved us and came to us. And we are called to come together and to preach this gospel. In the grand scheme of things, what just happened in our country is not even a speed bump to God. Okay? So don't think of the sort of molehill someone wrote of moral and social disadvantages or the passing celebration of the current presidency. Think of the Himalayan mountain range of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And let this put the fire in our bones for what matters most, the salvation of the world. So let us not be divided, rather unified by our mutual love for Christ. Let's work for the same things that we were called to work for before the election took place. The same things that the church has been called to work for since the day Christ ascended and gave His great commission. In the name of Christ. Amen.